What's good? What's good? What's good, fans? Thank you guys for tuning in to the Voice of the Fans podcast. This is show 100. We're going to call it 100.5. We had some technical difficulties, so we're getting into it again. We're going to talk about this week the NBA restart, the bubble, what's going on down there in Orlando. We're going to have some NFL topics. We're going to talk about this day in history. And then most importantly, we're going to give you an AFC East predictions from Cleavon and myself. How you doing, Cleavon?
Doing well, Cam. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, my man. I'm doing good. Cleavon, I want to thank you for participating in the show, and we want to thank everybody for listening, how they're listening, whether it's Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. Thank you guys for tuning in to the podcast. We appreciate it, and let's get busy. It is August the 13th. 2020, Cleavon, and once again, this is show 100.5. So, with it being the 13th, we look at the numbers every weekend. We have been doing the past 100 shows. The number 13, who wore that number best, or who first come to your mind when you think about the number 13? One of my old school favorites, excuse me to cut you off, but Mr. Slick Watch. You remember that guy?
I do remember with the headband. He was a fantastic point guard for the Celtics. One of the fan favorites coming up.
Well, fan favorite for sure. So who you got? Would it be Nate Robinson, James Harden? Who you got as wearing number 13 the best?
Well, personally, when I think of the number 13, Cam,
yeah.
The first person that comes to mind is Golden Arm, Mr. 305, Dan Marino. Perhaps you've heard of him, Hall of Fame quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, I might have heard of him. Oh, for sure, you know that. It's just I didn't think you'd go to all the way to South Florida and think about that.
Oh, for sure, I have his jersey hanging in my closet as we speak.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you do have some respect for the NFL greats, huh?
I most certainly do, Cam.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Let's talk about the NBA season, man, and how things are wrapping up down here in the bubble in Orlando. And the Lakers did it, man. Kudos to your Lakers. They pulled out the number one seed. Do you guys get a ribbon for that? Do you guys get a bowl? Is there a parade down Figueroa for pulling out the number one seed in the West? What all comes with that?
Hey, Cam, no one's looking for all that. Nothing comes with it but just a congratulations for, a long season of hard work, chemistry coming together, and, just try and keep it rolling as best they can, and hopefully they'll be able to, get over the injuries to their backcourt that they have and, do some good things in the playoffs. We'll see.
You want to elaborate on the injuries? I mean, from what I hear, Rondo's on his way back.
Certainly. Their starting two guard has decided he is not going to play in the bubble, and their starting point guard has a broken hand. So until the point guard comes back, they're without their starting backcourt. So, they're vulnerable going into the playoffs, and, a lot of other teams are more talented, a la the Los Angeles Clippers, and, certainly it's their opportunity and their time to, seize the moment. But we'll just see what the Lakers have in store for everybody, It's a good thing that they were able to get the number one seed, so it's not quite as difficult a road to the championship, but you're not going through anywhere or to anywhere, so, you're just playing in the bubble, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and do you think it's a disadvantage for a team, say, that works as hard as they do to get the number one seed, and they don't have home court advantage? There's not going to have the bandwagon fans that, want to attend the Laker games and root for them or wear the flags on their cars when they're doing well. But the other years that they suck, the eight previous years they haven't made the playoffs, we don't see any flags. Do you think that does a disservice for them for not hearing the fans at their home crowd?
Absolutely. It's not the same advantage as it would have been under normal circumstances and, kind of playing, on a, you know, an equal playing field with the 8 seed and the, you know, the 4 seed, let's just say, for example, if, you know, they were to win out, yeah, it definitely favors the lower seed. The higher seed has no real advantage in any way other than who they're playing. But as far as where they're playing, yeah, taking that part of the out of the equation is going to be difficult.
All right, so we know the Lakers have the number one seed. Number one seed in the East is the Milwaukee Bucks, also with no home, true home court advantage. What do you rank their chances of making it to the finals, the Milwaukee Bucks?
I give the Milwaukee Bucks about a 60% chance of making the NBA Finals.
Not
50-50. I think they have a 60% chance. You know, they're sitting, you know, with the best record in the league, and I think that their only formidable foes will be Boston and Toronto. We'll see if they're able to usurp those two teams or whichever one they end up facing.
Okay. Your thoughts on the Clippers? They take on Luka Doncic in the playoffs, who is orchestrating the best offense in league's history. Were you aware of that? That they have the most efficient offense ever in the sport of basketball?
I was not aware of that very unique and surprising statistic, no.
But have you seen Luka play, though?
I have seen Luka play. The ball's on a string. He definitely is in total control out there. So, you know, I can understand why the offense is so efficient.
Yeah, the kid is incredible. The kid is truly incredible, playing with a great wealth of confidence. And this is going to be a great series between the Clippers, who have one of the better defenses in the league, against, again, as I mentioned, one of the greatest offenses to play the game. The most efficient offense to play the game. This is going to be a great showing of a series to watch. Which series are you looking forward to watching most?
You know, I'm actually looking forward to kind of watching this play-in to see who even makes the playoffs.
Yeah, we have Portland as we speak. Portland's having a dogfight here with the Brooklyn Nets just to make that playing. I'm sure you're rooting as hard as you can for the Brooklyn Nets right now tonight, aren't you? You guys don't want to see Portland.
Come now. I don't know where that's coming from. My goodness.
I'm saying you don't want to see you Lakers don't want to see Portland in the first round of playoffs. That's where that's coming from. And if you were being honest with yourself, you'd agree with that.
Probably the more difficult opponent for sure. But yeah, I don't think at this point, with the number one seed, fearing the 8 seed, I mean, what good is that going to do you?
Well, I didn't say it does you any good, but, I mean, just being a knowledgeable fan of the game, you know that you just mentioned the injuries to your point guard, him not being in the game, your propensity to slow down opposing offenses is not there, and we know what Dame Lillard has been doing to this bubble right now. First, he didn't want to come down unless they actually had a chance to win, and we see he's giving all he can to get his team into the playoffs. So with that being said, a couple guys have been extremely hot down there in the bubble, and it's been Dame Lillard's one of them. I think he's averaging something like 38 points in the bubble. And then you have the kid from Phoenix. Are you surprised with his performance, and what do you think about him? Dame Lillard, or who's the MVP in the bubble? Dame Lillard or your boy Devin Booker?
You know, I would have to go Devin Booker. I know that Dame Dollar kind of snapped out of it after Patrick Beverly and PG-13 went at him on Instagram and came back for 61. But I believe that Phoenix Suns haven't lost a game in the bubble, have they? Or maybe one at the most. I have to say that Devin Booker's performance has been a little bit more impressive, considering the cast of characters he has around him.
Okay, so they won eight games in a row. You're right. You're absolutely right. that's been better than what Dame has been doing?
Dame has been spectacular in his last two games. I mean, he's averaging 55 points a game. Let's not get it twisted here. I'm just saying, you know, Devin Booker has definitely elevated his game and perhaps been the best player in the bubble, considering that his team hasn't lost a game.
All right, Cleavon. So, Cleavon, I got something that's been on my mind. As you know, I do cover the Los Angeles Clippers and frequently get opportunities to question the coach and the players through their Zoom conferences now. We would go to the games before, but since there's no home games and, you know, we know what COVID has done to the league and everybody's down there in the bubble in Orlando haven't been able to go down there, et cetera. I'm hearing, and this is true, the Clippers probably haven't played more than 12 or 13 games with their complete roster, which is not, you can't deny that, nothing false about that. However, with that being said, we consistently hear, or I've been consistently hearing, that without their full complement of players, you know, it's hard to gauge the team, it's hard to expect anything of them. We don't know where they're, you know, we don't know what their full potential is because everybody hasn't been there for some time. They haven't had a chance to gel, to mesh, et cetera. And I want to get your thoughts on this because some years ago, Doc Rivers was famously quoted saying that his Boston Celtics, fully healthy, haven't lost a playoff game, a playoff series, fully healthy with everybody there. Do you recall that?
I do recall him saying that.
This is sound eerily familiar, this conversation over the last couple weeks. He's not wrong in the fact that the team hasn't been at full strength. Everybody hasn't been had a chance to kind of play together. But it just sounds eerily similar to that. Have you heard that? What's your thoughts there on that?
I think it's two different situations. In the first one, he was speaking from the position of a champion that had, you know,
Sorry to cut you off, but Carmelo just missed a big three-pointer that would have gave the Portland Trailblazers a four-point lead against the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets now have the chance to win the game on a Caris LeVert jumper from the top of the key that is off base, and the Portland Trailblazers go on to play in a playoff game of the 2020 NBA bubble on a missed jumper by Caris LeVert. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay. I mean, and we'll see what they're able to do in that play-in game, and you know, it will just be more excitement and more drama for the NBA if they're able to make, you know, work themselves into the playoffs. You know, we'll see. Best of luck to them. But putting themselves in a position to be there is fantastic. But back to my point, the original time he was talking about it with the Boston Celtics, he was speaking from the perspective of a champion that didn't get a chance to defend their championship fully healthy. A little bit more of an argument. When he makes it this time, this is a team that just hasn't played together ever. So we have absolutely no idea what to expect of them other than they're talented enough and perhaps the most talented team in the bubble right now. And the odds-on favorite, and it is, by most people's expectations, their championship to lose. So it's slightly different that he's speaking this way before ever having the opportunity to defend a championship or even play for a championship. The Clippers have never been to the Western Conference Finals, so it's hard to kind of come with all that prematurely, but, you know, it's kind of a built-in excuse before you ever get started. So just depends on how you look at it.
You just have to throw that in there. They haven't been to a NBA Finals or Conference Finals. You just had to throw that in there, didn't you?
I'm just stating facts. It's nothing personal.
Interesting. So, do you have, obviously, clearly you're a Laker fan. Clearly you root for the Lakers. Who would you like, who would you rather the Lakers play in the NBA Finals? Since you expect them to go to the finals and win it, and go to the conference finals and win it and get there. Who would you want them to play for that 17th championship against?
Well, again, Cam, I'm certainly not saying that the Lakers are going to be in the championship. I've already mentioned the obstacles they have to overcome to even, you know, be considered, you know, Western Conference champions and even play for an NBA championship. So that's not what I'm saying. However, if that, you know, scenario were to present itself and that were to happen, I think the best opportunity for them to win that 17th would probably be against the Boston Celtics.
Oh boy, you going for the Celtics and the Lakers, like history, huh?
I'm just saying of the three teams that have the best chance of winning the Eastern Conference, I think that Boston is the lesser of the three. I think Toronto having come through, already winning, and you know Milwaukee having Giannis, I think that's would be the easiest opportunity for them to win it.
Hey, when you say that, didn't Jason Tatum give the Lakers 40 at the Staples Center earlier this season?
Sure did. Magnificent performance by Jason Tatum. Kudos to him for being able to do that back then.
Just saying. It ain't going to come easy either way it goes. But it's going to be interesting, man. We've got a playoff game that we're going to see happen this weekend. See if Portland can beat up on Memphis and get in there. It's going to be very interesting to see how this rest of the season transpires. And fans, we will let you know. Cleveland, let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about some NFL topics. We're going to talk about the Seahawks and their quarterback actually, you know, giving away some of his gear to help one of his friends into the hotel. See how where that goes. Let's take a break here. All right, what's good, fam? Thank you guys for tuning in. Let's get into the NFL topics, man. We got NFL coming right around the corner. We got Joey Bosa getting paid. What do you think about the Chargers finally paying one of their big stars?
Congratulations to them. They have a dominant defensive lineman for the next 5 years to anchor their defense, to go along with Ingram and Derwin James. They're very formidable, and I think it was a good decision on their part to lock them up long term.
It was a great decision, man. The Chargers are notorious for not paying their guys, so when they finally paid them just to hold on to them, that was an excellent sign. They have a ferocious defense. If they have a linebacker, by all accounts, this linebacker is a tackler. He's a run stuffer. If they have a linebacker who can slow down the run and make tackles, I mean, between Ingram and Bosa on the wings, they have the drive up the middle on the defensive tackles. They need a linebacker who can make tackles. Just get in position and make the tackle. If this young rookie that they drafted can get that done, they have cornerbacks. They have the 2018 Man of the Year from Vanderbilt. They have Harris coming over from the Broncos. They have every position, man. They have the corners. They have the nickel. They have the safety and Derwin James. I would just leave Derwin James in the middle, and I wouldn't even have another safety out there. I just leave Derwin James. Okay, you patrol everything behind us. You keep everything in front of you, and that's your job. And then I bring in that third cornerback, and we're playing three corners all game long. If you don't put three wide receivers on the field, I'm sending one of my corners. And so you're gonna have very little time to react against the defense because they can cover. And again, if this linebacker is a run stuffer, they'll be able to stop the run.
they're going to be ferocious. So I think that was an absolute wonderful signing. And we'll see how that transpires and see if their offense can get some momentum going behind Tyrod Taylor. And then later in the season, if they end up having to play the rookie, Herbert, we'll see how that works out. But I'm somewhat very – the Chargers have something to be interested in going into this new stadium. AB, they finally – NFL finally announced that Antonio Brown will get an 8-game suspension. Are the Seahawks going to sign him and deal with the 8-game suspension? Because as we talked about, you heard me say for months and months and years that they need a receiver, a big-time receiver on their team to help Russell Wilson out. They do have a couple guys who's playing, you know, they have Tyler Lockett who plays pretty good. He's a slot receiver. If they had a number one receiver, man, how impressive would that be?
You know, those conversations are to be had at the gate. You know, no one is going to rush to get out and, you know, make AB a part of the Seahawks. You know, the 12s certainly aren't clamoring for his services. I know Russell Wilson would like to have him, you know, in a perfect world and a, you know, perfect mindset. But, you know, we don't know what the future holds for AB. You know, we don't even know if he's going to be still wanting to play in 8 games. So, you know, that's not something that we can even really discuss until, you know, things have transpired and he's, you know, out of the suspension protocol, so to speak.
Oh, wow. This sounds like you're not interested in having Russell join your squad.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, in his current state, not really. You know, we have to see what the season looks like. You know, as we all know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so maybe, you know, there is a roster position available for him. You know, injuries happen as well. You know, maybe the offense just needs, you know, an extra, you know, a spark or, you know, something like that. These things happen, but, you know, as it is right now, you know, I don't necessarily think that the Seahawks need to invest too much time in trying to sign or even be in consideration for Antonio Brown.
All right. Well, Mr. resident Seahawk fan that you are, help me out. Who are the receivers again?
There's a guy named DK Metcalf. You should be very familiar with him.
Well, I know who he is.
Maybe not. Tyler Lockett.
Well, I spoke about Lockett. Okay, and where do you go from there?
You know, and after that, it's an open camp. See, you know, where we end up at. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see how everything shakes out. You know.
Yeah, you don't even give me.
It's open, it's open competition. It's training camp. I can't really say who's going to be on the team right now. So, you know, I don't want to leave anybody out or put anybody in. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
It don't even sound like you have options, though. I mean, at least you would know this guy can play. This guy can do some things. You have another tall receiver. Like last year, you were pretty excited about this Metcalf guy. And who's the Metcalf of this season?
Oh, there's no Metcalf in this season. I mean, that guy was an absolute phenom, as you recall, Cam. But you know,
phenom.
We'll just have to see. We'll have to see who you know who Pete comes up with. That's why it's training camp.
Mm-hmm. So again, it sounds like you knew who you were excited about last season. Just it sounds like you're not excited about anybody this season. That's what I'm hearing.
You know, the wide receiver room is wide open. Those two, and you know, we'll just have to see how things shake out, Cam.
Oh, that patent answer. So it sounds like AB would be a welcome addition to your squad. As I stated for years and years and months, they do need a clear number one receiver on their team to complement what Tyler Lockett does, and then with that other guy to help develop that other guy at number 14.
Hmm.
So, what do you think about? All these players opting out, man. The Patriots has 6 players opting out. We have Miami Dolphins has a couple. Their wide receiver core has opted out. We have Arizona is missing a couple players. Nobody from the Chargers has opted out. I think there's one player from the Rams that may have opted out. What do you think about the NFL players opting out of their season?
You know, I have no problem with the uncertainty as far as the protocol for how things are going to go. for a full NFL season. I know that some of these players are around people with preconditions that they don't want to come in contact with necessarily. Some of them have young kids. So, you know, their priorities are different than regular people. I know a lot of people think that, wow, they make so much money that they just have to do this. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there are other factors that are more important than money. And, you know, I respect them for making that decision. Not an easy decision to make. A lot of these players are, you know, in either the very beginning or the prime of their career. So it's not like they're not sacrificing a lot. But at the same time, the unknown is very scary as well. And they certainly don't want to be the catalyst for, you know, causing that type of situation for their family and loved ones. So, you know, I respect their decision not to play.
Interesting. Well, I think the players opting out, I think it's kind of odd, first and foremost. We see what's going down here, and though the NBA is much different than Major League Baseball, much different than NFL football, being on one of the football teams, we saw the Denver Broncos, I think it was, had like the car wash disinfectant as you walked out of the locker room onto the field. They sprayed you down with some disinfectant. That was pretty interesting. But I think the teams are trying to do everything they can to keep their players healthy. Now, that's first and foremost. Number two, just in life, as we know, there's so many things that you put yourself at risk just living life that you do make a good point. When they're thinking about their families and they have loved ones that they want to kind of keep that's living with them, that's kind of keeping that they're responsible for, and they're trying to keep them healthy as well. But I mean, they can isolate themselves long enough, I would think, to kind of play the game. And so I'm kind of surprised that as many players have opted out as they have. I'm very surprised by that. I'll say that. But you sound pretty forgiving with the players kind of choosing to make these decisions not to play. I wonder how forgiving are you with Seahawks cornerback Kima Severin, who decided to try to sneak a female companion into the team hotel to help keep him company, and, you know, gave her a uniform and some pants, and, you know, just try to walk her into the locker room like she was a team player, or into the hotel like she was a player. What's your thoughts on that? And the Seahawks abruptly cut him, and though they need cornerbacks, they abruptly cut him and, you know, said thanks but no thanks. What's your thoughts on that, sir?
A very selfish move on that young man's part. Very short-sighted, not understanding the big picture, not understanding how, you know, these discretions could affect an entire, you know, team, an entire city, an entire league. It was irresponsible. So the Seahawks definitely did the right thing, and it's unfortunate for him that, you know, he got caught or, you know, on the hotline or whatever, you know. I'm sure he's somewhere on Instagram saying snitches get stitches, you know. You know, to call out to his people, like, how did I get caught for this? But, you know. When he's 33 years old, you know, working construction somewhere, he'll look back at this and be very upset that he made that decision.
So let me ask you a question. When he gets cut and they give him his garbage bag to get his equipment out of there, do you think she went home with him, or do you think she stayed in the hotel? What do you think?
Oh, wow. Wow. It would be super duper cold blooded if she stayed. And he got the pink slip. I mean, yeah, that would be horrible. So I hope for his sake, just because of what he's had to sacrifice for making that decision, I hope she at least left with him. Yeah, that would be horrible if she didn't.
Oh, boy. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I'll say she's in Bobby Wagner's room. That's kind of terrible.
Woo!
That would add insult to injury. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that would be bad.
Hey, you got to follow the story, man. You got to follow the story. Find out, did she leave with them? Did they go back to OKC, to Oklahoma State? You got to find out what happened, man. You got to find out for us. Promise to dig into that one for the fans.
I'll do some follow-up on that one, Cam.
Also, are you confident? I've been asking this of you for the last few weeks. How confident are you the NFL will start this season on time?
I am about 65 to 70% confident that the NFL will start the season on time.
If you say you're 70%, I'm slightly 2% higher than you. My confidence, if you asked me this 3 weeks ago, I would have been about a 95%. 2 weeks ago, I've been about an 85%. Now I'm hovering in the 70%. And, you know, I wanted to start off on time. I wanted to go off and be successful. Don't get me wrong, fans. But my confidence level is probably right now about a 72. So we'll see how things transpire. We'll, you know, hopefully they can get things together and have a successful season, because we want to see the guys out there on the field. Empty stadium or not, we want to see the guys on the field playing real football. Cleveland, let's take a little break here, big guy. When we come back, we're going to talk about this date in history. And we're going to get into some random topics just about football, college football, and then we have our AFC East preview for 2020 season, obviously providing the guys play. So let's take a little break here, and we're going to come back and talk about that on the backside.
Hey, fans, I want to thank you guys for tuning into our Voice of the Fans podcast as you do each and every week. We appreciate the love. Please make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend about our show. Additionally, I'd like to ask that you guys subscribe to our Voice of the Fans YouTube page. Go to YouTube, type in Voice of the Fans, hit the subscribe button. What you're going to find there is a lot of exclusive content, interviews between Greg Popovich and myself, Scott Farrell, sports talk host, and myself. You're going to hear my conversation with Emmitt Smith. Hear why he tells me to go do some research. You're also going to see my interview with Jim Brown, legendary Jim Brown. You're going to see my interviews with Eric Dickerson. You're going to see my interview with Terrell Davis. Hear why Terrell Davis says that Broncos running system was not a system. Hear his explanation of that. Once again, Voice of the Fans on YouTube page. Check it out. Again, tell a friend to tell a friend, because we appreciate that love. Thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, thank you for making our voice your choice.
All right, what's good, fans? Well, thank you guys for tuning in once again to Voice of the Fans podcast. It is August 13th. 2020, Cleveland. 2020, man. I mean, it was odd when you used to fill out the headings on your paper. It'd be, you know, 1985, 1986, 1987. And then all of a sudden you start writing checks. It's 2001, it's 2009, 2010, 2013. Cleveland, it's 2020, man.
I know.
Has it sunk in, man?
Not really.
Yeah,
not really.
Hopefully it ends with a bang. We got a lot of things happening. Hopefully it ends with a bang, man. Cleveland, let's talk about some dates in history, man. Back in October 2nd, 1920, 100 years ago, we had Marcus Garvey present his Back to Africa program in New York City. 1936, a few years later, October 9, we had Jesse Owens win 4 gold medals in Berlin, sent Hitler home, you know, with a frown on his face because they had the American black dude killing the country, or killing the world, in fact. August 13, 1892, Cleveland. Baltimore, Maryland had the first black Afro-American newspaper. Was distributed.
Wow.
And August 1986. USFL standout Herschel Walker signed with what team? He signed with your Dallas Cowboys. And I think the Herschel's most he was a baller at Georgia. He went to the USFL and, you know, kind of shunned the NFL. Had some decent years out there in New Jersey as a New Jersey general. But then went and signed with Cowboys. And what was his claim to fame in the NFL? What would you say his claim to fame in the NFL would be?
Well, I think this is unfair to Herschel. But I think his claim to fame is being the trading chip in the, you know, what they call the the great train robbery, you know, giving Jimmy Johnson all those picks to rebuild his team with the University of Miami Hurricanes and various other Florida players. That's what he's most famous for, unfortunately, being the centerpiece of that trade.
Why you say that's unfair to Herschel though?
Because it makes it seem like he wasn't worth it, and it makes it seem like he wasn't a great football player, and neither one of those two things are true. At the time, people forget that Minnesota was, like, knocking on the door of winning a Super Bowl. So to make it seem like it was just this buffoon that just gave Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson all these picks for nothing and just didn't know what he was doing. And, you know, I think part of it was just thinking a little bit too highly of Herschel and being a little bit too close to winning a championship. Sometimes you make those decisions, and clearly it backfired for the Vikings, but it makes it seem like Herschel wasn't a great player and not worth it. So I think that's why he gets an unfair kind of shake in this whole thing.
Interesting. That's an interesting opinion. So last week in college football, we had WSU coach kind of insinuate that one of his players shouldn't join the protesting players if he wants to play for the coach. What's been the backlash from that up there in Washington State? I know he's not your alma mater. I know it's not around the corner from your house, but what's been the backlash for the coach with those statements? Or is everybody now hinging on the fact that the Pac-12 just decided to postpone its fall sports?
Well, it was extremely controversial at the time. It was not a very popular opinion to kind of take that position and that stance, given the climate of the country as a whole at present and kind of what the students were trying to do collectively, which was very, you know, noble, I thought, on their part. So to kind of, you know, kind of put him out there on an island, kind of an either or ultimatum kind of situation. Not received very well around these parts, but like you just said, the fact that the Pac-12 isn't going to be playing football this season probably has, allowed for that situation to kind of die down somewhat and probably give Wazoo an opportunity to kind of backtrack and take a different position going forward.
What about Gary Patterson and the N-word? Did that carry any, get any conversation up there, Gary Patterson using the N-word to express his thoughts to his team?
It didn't get a whole lot of traction up here. I mean, nationally, it obviously was a very big story and very concerning, obviously, but not up here so much. But at the same time, we are very sensitive to that type of behavior and that type of attitude going forward. So, as you well know, Seattle has been kind of the epicenter of a lot of the protests and, uprising, so to speak. So, got some of it, but probably didn't hit home as much as the Wazoo comments, to be perfectly honest.
Okay. And what are your thoughts about the Pac-12 and the Big Ten postponing their sports, considering the ACC, the SEC are going to continue to play their games as normal? And there's another league in there. There's another league in there too. Going to continue to play in the league.
I think it's inconvenient and unfortunate, but very forward thinking and very smart on their part. They just the liability in and of itself, and not being able to understand how to control that environment. And you're also talking about these guys coming back to, you know, at the time the thought was coming back to universities and then having the opportunity to, or the ability to then affect other players or other students, if they got it. And then you got the whole thing where, at least here in Washington State, they were going to, you know, the University of Washington is going to be online. So then it's like, okay, so then if the school is not really in session, then where are you guys doing? Where are you guys living? And so then it became like, you know, how does all this work conceptually? And I don't think they really had a plan. Time was running out. And I think it was just, you know, the best situation, the best decision for everyone going forward.
And so is that how that's being seen up there? Is everybody's good with the decision for Pac-12? I mean, that's essentially the whole West Coast, not playing football. While I'll give you my opinion. I think because had it been the Pac-12 alone making this decision, it'd be looking even far worse. But because the Pac-12 and the Big Ten that has made this decision, you know, at least they have a partner to say, hey, we're not the only ones doing it ourselves. But I think with the ACC, the SEC still playing football, and what league is the Oklahoma State in? Or Oklahoma State?
They're in the Big 12.
The Big 12. You see, they're playing football. Obviously, we're talking about it's a regional game, but we know we can see what football means to those regions versus what it means to the West Coast. But I think because it makes them look bad. Not playing these games, not concocting. Last week they had dates. They had pushed the season back a week. They decided they're only going to play conference games, and not coming up with schemes and ways that they can play and get the season off with. I think it makes it look bad. And then what does it say for these players? You know, they're going to be now. I would suspect if they actually do not play their games, I would suspect that a lot of these seniors are going to request transfers to a Big 12 school, a SEC school, or ACC school. I think they're going to be requesting transfers so they can get some football in. And what does it say for a lot of these seniors who has their, you know, the future on the lines? Are they going to play football in the spring and expect to get drafted in the NFL a month later or a week later? Like, this isn't the NBA. They get drafted the next week. They're sent to mini camps with the teams. Like, this isn't the NBA where you can just go right into college football a month later. You're on the NFL squad. I think it's a little different. I think it's doing their players a disservice. Am I looking at this wrong?
You are. The contrary, Cam, it's making the SEC and the Big 12 look bad because they're putting football above all other things. This pandemic is deadly. It's a serious thing, and they have no really methods in place to control it. And again, there's a liability issue. These guys are not professional players. They're student athletes. And again, you're taking the chance of not – it's the way the virus spreads. So if you get it and then you come back to campus, well, then you're endangering the whole campus. And even if you're quarantining, you don't know. I mean, you don't know how many players to have. You don't. And it's going to get colder, you know, as the football season wears on. But what they're saying is that no matter what, football must go on. And so, yeah, I think that's very short-sighted, very narrow-minded, and it's not surprising that that's the only part of the country that is taking that stance.
Okay. All right, that's fair. I think I should live in the South because I'm not.
Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. Life cannot exist without football. Other places say, well, life is more important than football. They're saying no, it's the other way around. So that's fine.
Let me tell you a story. So, quick story, from the Northwest, obviously, left Seattle in August of 1991. Drove from Seattle to Georgia, August of 1991. I was in the Camden County, southeastern part of Georgia, 45 minutes north of Jacksonville, Florida. So right on the last exit in Georgia off of 95 was Camden County. The very last exit before you cross the Georgia-Florida line. So Spencer was there just in time for football season, saw that, you know, the kids practicing. They had a Camden County, the high school they were, it kind of looked like Carolina, had the Carolina blue and white uniforms. They had a blue and white game, I think it was that either the second weekend, it had to be the second weekend I was there. The high school stands, it looked like homecoming. It was like a homecoming game for a blue and white scrimmage game, which kind of was like, okay, that's interesting. I understand not much was going on there, but that was interesting that everybody came out for this blue and white game. You know, I looked over at that. You know, I was at that time, I'm more interested in how good were these guys versus, you know, just to play on the field. I wanted to see them play, but I was interested, like, how good were they? At that time, I'm thinking I could compete with them myself. So fast forward to the end of the season, January, February, March, there's spring football in pads. The players, the high school team is in pads after practice, after school. They have full on practice in March. It's spring football. For another 6 weeks, they're practicing in pads. They have a couple scrimmage games. Again, the fans are coming out like it's homecoming games. I was like, okay. I see what's going on here. Like, in March, what's going on in March in the state of Washington?
Track and field, high school basketball.
Right. There's not the football fields are used for training fields for soccer, for baseball. You know, they have re-striped the fields for baseball, et cetera. They weren't playing football. Football was a very fall, winter sport. In the South, it's a year-round sport. And that told me something, like, right then. Like, they take it a lot more serious. And to your point, they cannot live without it in the South. That's just a quick example. And I was blown away. I was like, okay, I see why these guys are better. I see why a lot of talent comes from the South, because they're playing football year-round versus other parts of the country where it's definitely a seasonal sport, right?
Correct.
I thought that made sense. So that's where I'm coming from as far as I think they ought to continue the game. So, Cleavon, putting you on the spot now. Are you ready to take over the commissioner duties for Voice of the Fans Fantasy Football League?
You know, Cam, I would not mind having that role if the participants within the league were serious about, you know, competing. So I would have to test the, you know, the heartbeat and the commitment of the participants before I, you know, throw my name in the hat.
Yeah. Okay, listen. I want you to grade this fantasy football. I had my first fantasy draft last night, and I want you to grade this team. Number one pick is Tariq Hill. I had to get him, had to make sure the big play guy was on a squad. Number two pick was Nick Chubb. I had to make sure I get a solid running back in the game. I had number eight pick, 8 out of 12, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I was able to sneak in Tariq Hill, was able to get Nick Chubb coming on the backside. Surprisingly, Adam Thielen was there for my third pick. Had to take Adam. So I got a big play receiver, got a consistent receiver. And now the decision time was made. I was thinking I wanted a quarterback. I wanted a quarterback. I didn't want to have to live with a rookie quarterback. I wanted a quarterback who can produce, who I know is going to produce every week in, week out. But before I put that quarterback, I was surprised that Keenan Allen was out there unavailable. So I was able to pick up Keenan Allen as my additional receiver or my second receiver. And then I picked the quarterback, Russell Wilson. How do you think this team is shaping up so far, sir? So I got Russell Wilson, Tariq Hill, Adam Thielen, Nick Chubb, Keenan Allen. Those are my first picks of the draft. To round out in the middle rounds, I was able to pick up the rookie running back from Ohio State, Dobbins, who's going to a heavy run team in Baltimore. I was able
Ohio
to get
–
what'd I say? Ohio State, I thought.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm talking about J.K. Dobbins.
Okay. I was able to get – I picked up – 100% for trade bait. Not that I want to keep this player, but he's trade bait. 100% trade bait. I picked up Tom Brady in the seventh round, I think it was. 100% for trade bait. Yeah, put him. I didn't like his haircut, so I had a conversation with Tom Brady. Look here, don't even bother coming to practice, buddy. We're gonna send you your check because you won't be here for the duration. I was able to get Jerry Jeudy, although I wanted CeeDee Lamb. You know what I thought about CeeDee Lamb. I was able to get Jerry Jeudy. I was able to get Philip Lindsay, I talked to you about. TJ Hockenson is my tight end. And I think that's the most notable players I was able to get. Devin Harris or Damian Harris, the running back for Alabama. I know you're not big on Alabama running backs, but I don't know who else the New England Patriots have. So I picked him up expecting him to be the goal line back, a la Blunt from some years ago. I do have Kerryon Johnson from Detroit Lions if that doesn't work out. And the only Dolphin I have on my team is Mike Gesicki, and I got Greg Olsen just in case that doesn't work out. What's your thoughts on this squad here? This looks like a pretty close to a championship squad to me.
Man, I think in 2021, that squad would be off the chain, man. Yeah. In 2020, it's a little green. Fortunately, you have a few veterans, MVP caliber players, and Russell Wilson. So that's helpful. Tyreek Hill. You know how Ferraris are in the snow. Sometimes, they're a little bit, high maintenance. So if his hamstrings are good, then that was a great pickup. I don't know what the very first pick in the first round, but, these things happen. Chubby, the chubby guy, he's going to have to split some carries with Kareem Hunt over there. So, maybe not as much protection as you might like, but your team is solid, man. It's well-rounded for sure.
Well,
I would give that a solid B.
A solid B, he said.
A solid B, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we need to get the league started so we can grade. I mean, the best thing about fantasy football is having these debates. There's a little initial excitement about the squad and one of the.
Well, let me ask you this question, Cam. Are you going to be fully committed this year to the league or? Last year, I'm just going to be perfectly honest here, fans. I had to question his commitment. Didn't seem like it was 100% there.
What do you mean I was 100% there? I'm sure.
I'm saying. I felt like your commitment was not 100% to this league. You had some other leagues going on, and you're kind of getting your little booty kicked. Kind of sulking a little bit. So I didn't want to talk about the league on the show and, switching subjects and whatnot. So I'm just asking, what is your commitment to the league this year? Mr. SEC guy, are you going to be into it or what?
My commitment is always there, but I'm not just going to allow somebody just to run roughshod over, once again, get a couple W's. And, the conversation just turns to me not being able to get a W, and I just can't have that conversation.
Okay, well then, go out there and get yourself a W. Don't blame the messenger.
I hear that, and that's why we have to run it back. So my message will be sent out. I'm gonna send out my message to the rest of the league. It's time to if nothing else, to shut Cleavon up, fans. I mean, he didn't even win the league, but he talks as if he carried the league.
I was in the semis. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least I made the playoffs. Just saying.
I think I was a game out, let's run it back. That's my conversation. Let's run it back, and we need to set the date up, and I'll reach out to the squad again, to the coaches again, so we can get this done. Cleavon, before we go, let's talk about this AFC East. I have the Patriots, Bill Belichick leading his team I have the Bills with probably 11-5. Patriots probably coming at 10-6. Dolphins probably coming at 9-7 once again. Jets, I don't know, they're going to go 3-13. That's how I have it. You have the Patriots. Explain why you have the Patriots over the Bills.
Because Jared Stidham is not starting at quarterback and Cam Newton is. So once again, the golden ticket is renewed and the New England Patriots make the playoffs automatically because they play in the AFC East, one of the worst divisions in the history of all professional sports, quite honestly. AFC is horrendous. It's horrible.
Oh wow! There's one horrible team in the division. So what are you talking about? There's one, and that's the Biplanes.
Oh wow! Really? Okay. Not quite sure the last time that team from the 3-5 made it, but yeah, it's neither here nor there. If we're doing it in order, and you even gave records, I'll play your record game. Patriots 10-6, Buffalo Bills 9-7. Miami Dolphins 7-9, getting better.
Oh boy.
Jets are 6-10.
So you have them pretty competitive, one game apart. So you have three games from being the worst to the best team, or excuse me, five games from the worst to the best team, huh? You have it pretty competitive the way you just broke it down right there.
No, I'm not really. I mean, you know, the New England Patriots, they'll feast on those other teams, so they'll get five of the six of those, and then they'll just win five on their own somewhere else. Wherein, you know, maybe the Dolphins get two or three and then four somewhere else, and then, you know, the Jets, depending on Darnold, and, you know, maybe Le'Veon Bell, you know, wants to really actually play. So plus or minus a game or two there, you know. And Buffalo, I think they overachieved last year, but I think that quarterback is just going to – he's not the answer. I don't care if he did get the great Stephon Diggs from Minnesota. I just don't think he's going to be enough of a difference.
Yeah, I don't think that connection, his accuracy is a problem there. So I don't know that the Stephon isn't going to be any more happier in Buffalo than he was in Minnesota. So you're expecting a full rebirth from Cam Newton. You're looking for that Cam Newton 2015 Cam, not 2016, 17, or 18 Cam.
You know, I don't want to compare him to the MVP of the league. I'm not saying that he is, you know, going to be that caliber of player, you know, leading a 15-1 team to the Super Bowl. But at the same time, I think that he'll be better than most people are anticipating. I mean, it's not like he played in a great offensive system down there in Carolina. So I think Bill Belichick can show him a few things that might make him a little bit more effective. And I don't think they're going to ask him to do a whole lot. So I think 10-6 is very doable, and that's a very winnable record for that division.
Really? Wow. Okay. I'm not sure what to expect from them. I don't think I'm expecting 11-5 from the Patriots, but we'll see how things shake out.
With
quality coaching, who knows? Who knows? He's going to have quality coaching there, and let's see if he might be able to develop a little bit better.
And I know how you feel about coaching, So.
Yeah, man. We're going to end the show with this quote. Winning takes precedence over all. There's no gray area, no almost. And that's coming from your guy, Mr. Kobe Bean Bryant, former Los Angeles Laker, former lifeblood of Los Angeles. And I would just repeat the quote, winning takes precedence overall. There's no gray area, no almost. So when we're talking about fantasy football and I'm not winning, yeah, there's no happy days there. So it's not a lot to talk about. Fans, I want to thank you guys for being a part of the show. Thank you guys for your participation. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our show. It really helps us out. It really helps that our audience be found on the various platforms. You can find us once again, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. In most podcasting formats, you can find Voice of the Fans podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for making our voice your choice.
Hey, Marcel Smalley right here. Thank you for making our voice your choice. You know what I'm saying? Let me give me a beat, dog. Let me get something. Let me get...